Okay, this week is Parshas Emor, Parsha of the Moadim. It's a very special Parsha because it's the 8th Parsha of Chumash Vayikra. 8th always represents Lamala Miderech HaTeva. So there's something significant in that. How could you have celebrate all of the Moadim in one Shabbos? 8 Moadim to be celebrated, all the Moadim, what?
Pesach Chom was in Israel a couple of years ago when he, since the story, he twisted or broke an ankle and took
that to the hospital.
So his friend came over and said, this is the first time Pesach fell on Sukkot.
Pesach fell on Sukkot, very good.
It's a very old one.
Pesach fell on Sukkot. It's almost as good as what my sister told me. She had a teacher whose name was Pesach. It's a true story. And when she was in the class, he had his seventh child. He had his seventh child. He came into class and he told the girls, guess what? I get a Mazel Tov. I had a baby. Yes, it is. And he said to the class, I get a Mazel Tov, I had a baby. You got a boy. This is Shvi Shal Pesach, but it's not Acharon Shal Pesach.
It was just a
he was niffed how many years ago? 3-4 years ago?
Yeah,
Not that long ago. Okay, Rabbi said, let's begin. Parshas Emor, the first, let's start with something simple. We have the laws of Tumah. There's a difference between the laws of Tumah relating to a Kohen Hedyot and a Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Hedyot is not allowed to contaminate to any person. We all are very well aware of this halacha, that a Kohen Hedyot is not allowed to, both. A Kohen Hedyot and a Kohen Gadol are not allowed to contaminate to a mace. However, there are exceptions. The exceptions are, a Kohen Hedyot can contaminate to his 7 closest relatives. La'aviv, uli'imoy, la'choyseh ha'besula. What does the pasuk say? Ish imo. I'm reading the wrong parasha, that's why. See? Here we go. The pasuk says,
because you're not in the parasha.
Did it ever happen to you? We got up to Lane and it was the wrong parasha? Never happened to you.
Mished up to the wrong place.
You mished the wrong place.
And the Rebbe that was about to make the Aliyah look, he went,
you're in the wrong place. But you never happened and you prepare the wrong parasha, you come to shul. Well, that never happened.
Well, Bayal Paro is a classic example.
Because there are 2 Bayal Paros. Okay, so the pasuk says, Kim l'sha'eroi, a wife, l'imoi u'la'aviv, a mother, a father, v'livno, u'levitoi, u'li'achiv, u'la'choisei, ha'besulo, ha'koi v'la, sh'loha yisola ish'loha yitama. There are 7 relatives. Okay, it comes to the Kohen Gadol. V'ha'koihein ha'godol me'echof, asher yitzak al roshay shem ha'mishcha, u'milei yas yadol u'bosh l'bogadim. He's different. There are more stringencies. V'al'kol nafshos meis lo yavo. Not even lo'aviv, u'li'imo, lo yitama. No, even to his father and his mother, he's not allowed to contaminate. A Kohen Gadol is more stringent than a Kohen Hedyot. So not only is this true with regard to a Kohen Gadol, there is one other person that's not allowed to contaminate to his 7 relatives. And who is that? A Nazir. A Nazir as well is not allowed to contaminate even to one of his 7 relatives. And indeed that is hinted to in this pasuk where it says, V'ha'koyhein ha'gadol me'echov asher yutzak al rosho shem ha'mishcha. And he doesn't say it here in this pasuk, but it's Kohen Gadol is called Nezer. No, in this pasuk it says, ki Nezer, the crown. Ki Nezer Shemen Mishchas Lokov Lavani Hashem. A Nazir also comes from the word Nezer, crown. Why is it that a Nazir and a Kohen Gadol are not allowed to contaminate to their 7 relatives, whereas a Kohen Hedyot is allowed to contaminate to his 7 relatives? If the Torah have given these individuals extra special Kedusha, what's the difference? So it's a very simple Vart, but it's a powerful Musar Haskil. The difference is, where does a Kohen Hedyot derive his Kedusha from? It's nothing special. It's what he was given when he was born. He is the son of a Kohen. It's his family. It's not due to his own merit. The extra dosage of Kedusha that a Kohen possesses is a gift that was given to him. It was a handout. It was a freebie. Whereas a Kohen Gadol only rises to power to become a Kohen Gadol because he's something special. All of his brethren have to select. There are probably hundreds, if not thousands, of candidates for the Kohuna Gadol to be the Kohen Gadol. Why is he selected more than anyone else? Obviously, there's something special. He's earned it. A Nazir. How does one become a Nazir? Not because he's born as a Nazir. It's because he decides he wants to be a Nazir. He has earned the title of Nazir by accepting upon himself the term of Nazirus. So it's a very powerful Issa. When you earn something, that Kedusha is a greater Kedusha. That is a Kedusha which is so intense, a person is not allowed to contaminate even any form of contamination, even to one of his seven relatives. But a Kedusha, that something that is given to you as a gift, is not so intense, since it's not earned. It's something which was given as a handout, has lesser sanctity, and therefore, if this is where you come from, these are your parents, these are your siblings, it's your family, they are the ones who have given you this Kedusha. It's not due to your own merits. You have no choice but to contaminate, to acknowledge. It's not your Kedusha, and you have to contaminate to your family members. Okay, let's go to another idea. There's a very interesting difference between the way the Torah describes the rules of a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Hedyot. When the Torah describes a Kohen Gadol, a Kohen Hedyot, and says who he should contaminate, first it mentions mother and then father, le'imo u'le'aviv, whereas by a Kohen Gadol, where it tells us that a Kohen Gadol should not contaminate, the order is reversed, le'aviv u'le'imo. So the obvious question is, why did the Torah change the order by the Kohen Gadol relative to the Kohen Hedyot? So there are many, many answers. I just want to throw out one answer which borders upon something that I've seen somewhere else. And that is, we're all aware that when a Kohen Gadol becomes a Kohen Gadol, the mother joins the service. What does the mother do? She makes her rounds to the Ari Miklat, and she gives out, she makes Kiddush for all the members of the Ari Miklat, that they should not be misfalil, that her son should die. So what is special about the mother of the Kohen Gadol? She actively is being mavakesh, her son should not die. That's what she finds herself doing. We have a principle, hamavakesh, a person that is mispalel ba'at chaveroi hu nenetchila. If a person's whole life is involved in doing a certain chesed, there's a bracha, there's no guarantee, but there's a bracha that he will be answered in that same merit. If a person is, the person we have a story with the Gemara, one person who used to dig a pit, he used to dig pits for the early Regalim, and then there was a miser, one of his own children fell into the pit, and they went to one of the Gedolei Hadar, and they said, what should we be mispalel that this person, his child, fell into a pit? So he says, don't worry, if he has the schus of digging pits for the entire Klai Yisrael, for the early Regalim, it can't be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would cause that his own child will fall into a pit. We know it's not always 100% true. There are many things which have to take into consideration, but here the Torah is discussing the ideal. If the mother of the Kohen Gadol will make it her business to be mispalel that her son should live a long life, people should not pray that he should die, so l'chora that added to her an extra degree of living a long life. Chazal said that in ancient times women would have a shorter life expectancy than a man. When there was a married couple, husband and wife, this is in ancient times, it's not true today. The statistics are the other way around, because due to modern medicine and due to all the advanced techniques in childbirth and other considerations, but in ancient times the Gemara says it's a fact that woman has a shorter life expectancy than a man. And in a married couple, it was common that the wife would predecease the husband. Therefore, by regular person, we have a Kohen Hedyot. It comes a point in time in his life where he'll become an Avel. So the Pasuk says, don't contaminate yourself to your mother and to your father. Why does it say mother first? Because it's more likely the mother would die before the father. This was Dark Hashem. It's a Ferish of Gemara's Taisvist. He makes this point. But when it comes to the Kohen Gadol, the Torah reverses the order. The Torah goes against the grain and says, guess what? Kohen Gadol's mother, it's all in all likelihood, she's going to live longer than her husband, than the father. Why? Because since we know it was the meaning of the mothers of the Kohanim Gadolim to be mevakish for the life, to be mispalel, that her son shall live a long time, kol ha-mevakish ha-mispalel be'at chaveroi, v'utzorich lo'oysa davar, hu nene t'chila, if she's be mevakish that her son shall live a long time, So Mstam HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to add to her years as well, and she will live longer than is usual, longer than when it was the norm. And if normally her husband, she would predecease her husband, in this instance she will live longer than her husband. Exactly, that's another pshat. Kimches says, why were you zechah to have seven children that were Kohanim Gedolim? And she said, because I was nizer in many different inyanim. She's a righteous woman. If a person becomes a Kohen Gadol, you have to assume that the merit comes from the mother. Okay, let's go to... Yeah.
I guess the mother of Malkus asked the question, why the wife of the Kohen Gadol?
Why the wife
of the Kohen Gadol doesn't do the same thing as the mother does.
Right, so we discussed this. So the answer we gave is because the mother of the Kohen Gadol is responsible for producing the Kohen Gadol. The reason why a person becomes a Gadol is not because of his wife. His wife would perform. Behind every great man is a great mother. Is a great mother. The wife, if it was up to her, he would have been out in the workforce a long time ago. The zechus, Chazal says, it's the zechus of the mother that produces great children. The mother is what produces great children. Therefore, the mother feels guilty. People here are, the son became a Kohen Gadol. Now the son's life is in jeopardy because there was someone who killed someone b'shoigeg. And Chazal said, who's responsible for this? The Kohen Gadol. He should have been mispalel that an accident should not have happened. So the mother says, look at that. I was great enough to produce a son who's a Kohen Gadol, but I failed in going further, doing more, that he could have been a greater Kohen Gadol where there would not have been a possibility that my son, that he could have been even greater. If I was able to produce a child that's this great, why couldn't I have gone the extra step and made him even greater where such a terrible thing would not have happened, that someone would have killed B'shoigeg and now being Ari Miklan, being the spell for my son? So she feels the guilt for her, she feels guilty that people are being misspelled. That's why it's specifically she is misspelled. But the wife, I'm not responsible for this.
It's even worse. The wife can't be misspelled because every Yom Kippur they put a fine woman for him.
Another woman.
And he'll die. So everyone's worried that she's going to die. So she gets to be worried about
it. That's an interesting idea. Okay, let's go to another idea. Another idea. Let's move along. Okay, now this week is Hey Year. Does anyone know what Hey Year is?
Yom
Ha'atzmaut. Now, I'm not getting into any politics about Yom Ha'atzmaut and saying Hallel and then Tachlin. Let's put aside all politics. But every religious person, no matter where you find yourself, has to acknowledge that today HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us a matana, given us an Eretz Yisrael. We have an Eretz Yisrael. We're able to go there, we're able to daven there, we're able to live in the land. And this event has taken place on Hey Year. Whether you want to ascribe any religious significance to this, that's not the purpose of that's not the topic of our discussion. But Haloi Dovar is something that has to be dealt with. It has something which is extremely significant in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, in honor of this, I wanted to present a little short idea that relates to this parasha. At the end of this parasha, we learn about the Megadeth. There was a person that was Mevorech Hashem. And obviously, you can't do a worse avera than that. And how did it happen? The Gemara tells us he was Malagleg. There was a whole history behind this. First of all, his yichus was not the best yichus. His mother was Mizane, and no one wanted to take him. No one wanted to let him live in their community. He couldn't get an aliyah in all of the local shuls, so he made some trouble. And then when he learned about the lechem upon him, he made a little tzanis, and one thing led to another. And finally, he went and he was Mevorech Hashem, and he was quarantined. He was put in prison, and he told Moshe Rabbeinu what happened, and knew Moshe Rabbeinu, give us the psak halacha. And something shocking happened. Moshe Rabbeinu did not know the halacha. Okay, something. How could it possibly be that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Av HaNevim, he did not know the halacha? He didn't know what to do. Should we kill him? Should we not kill him? There was a whole debate. You can look at the Mefarshim, what all of the issues are. Now, this is not the only time in the Torah where a question was presented to the Gadol Hadar and he did not know the answer. In fact, there are five such examples where Moshe Rabbeinu did not know the answer. And let's go through them. Just mentioned by name. We have the Mekoshesh. The Mekoshesh in Parshas.
Shlach.
Shlach. The Mekal Shesh, a person, he collected piece of wood, seemingly what exactly he did is not so simple. He collected a piece of wood on Shabbos, he was Ma'amer, and they wanted to know, what should we do with this person? Moshe Rabbeinu did not know the halach. The Mekal Shesh. The second, another example, Pesach Sheni, where people are Hayu Tumim L'Nefesh Adam, they came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, Lomo Nigora, why should we be denied the opportunity to bring a Korban Pesach because we are Tanaim? Moshe said, I don't know what to tell you. Imdu v'yashma. Stand. Let me consult the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Let me see what the halacha is. We mentioned over here the noikev. We mentioned over here the person that was menakev. We mentioned benos slavchad. Next example, benos slavchad. They did not have any brothers. Noshim did not receive a chilik in the chilik the Yerusha, but there were no brothers, and their father's chilik would be passed to a brother, a father's brother. So the question was, maybe when there are no sons, maybe a daughter should be entitled to possess the land. Yerushas Ha'aretz. That's what we really want to focus on. The B'nos Slavchad with Toivea, that it's not fair that we should not take a chelik in the land. We have no brothers, and therefore Noshim also should have a chelik in Yerushas Ha'aretz. And the last example is Kozbi Basur. When Kozbi and Zimri, Zimri and Cosby engaged in a sin, what's the halacha? This was taking place in public. Zimri and Cosby were involved in this terrible avera, and what's halacha? Moshe Rabbeinu was standing there. I don't know what to do. What should we do about this? Should we call the police? What should we do? Suddenly, Pinchas remembered the halacha. He took the law into his own hands. This was the thing which Moshe Rabbeinu did not know the halacha.
He didn't even ask Moshe.
He was a kanoim paigimbo. What?
But the
carbon. But it was clarified. Moshe just forgot.
Aaron had to remind him.
I reminded, but the halacha was known. The halacha. This was a question which was the different category. He asked you. I have to go into the details. I'm quoting this from Chazal, so I'm not making up these stuff on my own. So we have to analyze all the examples in the Torah where there were questions. But there's a Chazal. I can't tell you the source of this Chazal. I don't know where it is. But it's a Chazal. We have to find the source. There are five critical examples where things were not clear. They were not absolutely clear, and they had to be brought. We had to be revealed. They had to be revealed in an ordinary way. These are the five examples. Now, these five examples are mushrosh, are hidden in the letters Mansepach. We know that in the Alapes there are 22 letters of the Alapes, and there are five additional letters, which are the end letters, Mansepach. What is Mem? Mikoshesh. What is Nun? No cave. The one, the no cave ish, this week's parasha, Vayinokave, what's the word? He cursed. Nokev means to curse. That's Nokev Shem Hashem Mosumas. Nokev Shem Hashem. That was the response. Hashem responded. Nokev. The parish is called Nokev. That's the Nun. What is Man Tzadi? Tzadi is Tzilofchot. Benos the Yerusha of Tzilofchot will go to the daughters. He doesn't have sons, so the Chiddush was will go to the daughters. What is the pay? Easy. Pesach Sheni. What? Pesach Sheni. Okay, that's pretty good. And what is Chof? Chof is Kozbi. I guess it wouldn't work out if we would say the thing. Kozbi Basur. Kozbi Basur was the Chefza di Sura, was the Zoyna. The Zoyna was Kozbi Basur. She was the Zoyna. She was the Nichshol for Klal Yisrael. So you have your five different areas of halacha. And Chazal, the Medrash says, Chazal say, Man Sepach, Tsoifim Amoram. These five letters, the similar meaning of the Gemara, Masechta Megillah, they were taught to us by the prophets. They were not known. The way the Gemara explains it, according to the Maskan of the Gemara, is that that it was forgotten when we use these letters at the end, and when we use it in the middle, until the time of the Nevi'im, where it got to a certain point where the halacha was forgotten, and it seems that it was their custom to use the letters Man Sepach, the opening letters, even at the end. They did not use the end letters at all because there was confusion exactly when to use it, how to use it. There was some confusion about the halacha. until the Nevi'im, the prophets, came along and they clarified. Tznan Sipach, Tzoifim, the seers, the prophets, Amorum, they revealed that it's proper to use these letters at the end of a word, and the other letters, are only to be used in the middle or the beginning of a word. Man Sipach, Tzoifim, Amorum. We take this expression, Man Sipach, Tzoifim, Amorum, we apply it to the five examples of halacha that were not clear. Tzoifim means a seer. A seer also has the connotation of a person who wants more. A person who sees more than what is obvious. Okay, a prophet is someone that sees things that are not obvious. The Torah was clear, it was given, it was a Masorah. Hashem gave the Torah to Moshe. Moshe presented the Torah clearly to Klal Yisrael. But there were some things in the Torah that were not clear. There were five issues that were not clear. Pesach Sheni, B'nai Sulafchot, Noikev, Mekoshesh, and Kozi Batsud. There were things that were not clear. Tsoifim, these things that were not clear were expressed, Amarum, were brought to the front by the Tsoifim, by individuals who wanted to bring out and to see hidden things in the Torah. Fine. This is the Chazal in its entirety, the way we present. Now, why am I telling you this? I want to add one little small prod in honor of this coming week, which is something very significant. There's a, and Michal is going to help me with this because I don't remember the details. There is a pasuk in Yeshayah. The pasuk in Yeshayah says, "Nichnaf, nichnaf ha'aretz zimiroi shamanu." From the corners of the earth, we've heard song. We've heard song come from the corners of the earth. Tzvi Latzadik. What is the song? The song is Hashem do. Tzvi means the desire of the tzaddik. The song is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please fulfill the desire of the tzaddik. The tzaddik wants for you, Hashem, to bring Mashiach. The tzaddik wants you to reveal yourself to this world. Hashem do. Fulfill the desire of the tzaddik. This is the song which emanates from the corners of the earth. This is the civil translation of the pasuk. The Darshanim explained this pasuk to allude to something very deep. The letters Man Sipach, in addition to it alluding to the five different halachas in the Torah that are not, that were required further clarification, also alludes to five individuals or five different expressions in Tanakh that allude to geula, to redemption. Okay, so I wasn't able to. Now, what are the five letters? So, if we call, you know this medrash. Let's take a look at the pay. Pay is easy. Pakod pakaditi, right? Okay, what is the tzadi? The tzadi is that tzvila tzadik. Tzvila tzadik is the yearning of the righteous. I don't know the details, but this pasuk in Yeshayah is an expression that is a reference to the coming of Mashiach. The tzvila tzadik, the yearning of the tzadik yearns for the coming of Mashiach. Let's take another pasuk of Lecha. Lecha refers to Lech Lecha. The first time HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to Avram Avim that you're going to leave or cast him. I'm going to make you into a great person. I'm going to transform you. I'm going to make you into a nation. Hashem introduced himself to Avraham with the words Lech Lecha. The syllable, the emphasis is the Chaf. This is a Chazal. Lech Lecha. The Mem. The Mem is Atzamta Mimenu. A double Mem. Mimenu. Atzamta Mimenu. Where the Plishtim said to Yitzchak, leave us, because the world acknowledged the Plishtim, the superpower of the world at that point in time acknowledged, Otsamta Nimenu, you Yitzchak, who you represent, you are greater than us. Now the Nun, I don't remember the Nun, it just slips my mind. The Nun is another word, Michal, remember the Nun? He'll come to you in a few moments. There's a Nun. I apologize. There's a letter Nun which also refers to the expression of Gula. Now the Baalei Darshanim go a step further and they say that's what it means in all of the different letters of the Man Sipach, the Mem, Matzamta Mimenu, the Nun, whatever refers to, it's a Pasuk in Chumash referring to one of the others, and the Pakoid Pakaditi, and the Chaf Lech Lecha, Shamanu, Nichnat, the letters. Lech is lechaf. Lech lechaf. Lech lecha. I know it's not perfect. This is what it's called. I'm making this up. Lech lecha. It's the chaf sound. It's a medrash. Lech lecha. It's the chaf sound. Is the significant sound. It says mechnaf. What's mechnaf? Mem, chaf, nun, pei. Mem, chaf, nun, pei. Mechnaf ha'aretz zemiro shamanu. The letters Mem, Chaf, Nun, Pei Shomanu. We've already heard those letters. Hashem already fulfilled Lech Lecha. Avraham went to Eretz Yisrael. We've already fulfilled Pakoi Pakarti. We've already heard Otsam to Mimenu. The Nun maybe will come to me. We've already heard. What are we yet waiting to happen? Tzvila Tzadik. The Tzadi has not yet been fulfilled. The Tzadi is still lacking. There's something still yet to come. That's what we use. So this we have over here these five letters: Man Sepach, Tzayfim. Tzayfim refers to the seers. It's a reference to the coming of Mashiach. These are letters of Geula. From the five letters of Geula, four of them have already been fulfilled. There's only one letter that has yet to be fulfilled: the letter Tzadi that we're yearning for when Mashiach will come. That was said by Yeshaya that will come in the end of days. Tzila Tzadik. Now, what I wanted. Tzvi Latzadik. Tzadi Beis Yud. Tzvi with a Shva. Tzvi means the yearning, the desire. The desire of the righteous man. The desire of the righteous man, the true tzaddik's yearning is for Kirvas Elokim, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming close, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealing himself to this world. V'hoi Hashem lemelech al kol haaretz b'yamahu yeh Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now what I want to suggest is I want to take these two ideas and I want to combine them together. What I want to do, Chazal have told us that there are five letters of Gula. It's a mystical concept. We don't know what it means. It's not important for us to understand. Five letters. Michnaf. Letters of Gula. Mem, Chaf, Nun, Pei. Michnaf. And these five letters of Gula have been fulfilled. For these four letters. The fifth letter, the Tzadi, is the only letter of Gula that has not yet been fulfilled. And this letter represents the coming of Mashiach in the Pasuk Tzvilat Tzadik. Has yet to be fulfilled. We've also mentioned when we started, these five letters refer to five areas of Torah, five areas of Halacha, that were not clear when the Torah was given and required further elaboration. The five mikzayas of Torah. The mikoshesh. The mikoshesh doesn't just represent the ma'is shahoyah that was a person gathered wood. There are very deep things hidden in this concept. Let's talk in abstract terms. The mikoshesh, it represents concepts of Shabbos, hilcha Shabbos, of a person gathering wood, doing things. It's a very deep concept. And Moshe Rabbeinu revealed this only through people didn't know what the answer is. And Moshe had to make a special consultation with Kadosh Baruch Hu to find out. There was an issue of Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni is not just a halacha, it's a concept. It represents concepts in Yadus. The idea of the Noikev, Shev Hashem, they didn't know. Why don't you know? It says in the Pasuk, this the Torah is given, this Mevarech Hashem. There are the issues. These are concepts. What is the concept of the Tzadi of Tzolofchot? What is the concept in abstract terms? What does it represent? It represents Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The Bnei Tzolofchot had a special desire for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. We also want a chelek. We also want to possess Eretz Yisrael. Chazal tell us all aspects of Mashiach have already come. The Michnaf Haaretz Zimiro Shamanu. From the corners of the earth, which have produced the letters Michnaf, Mem, Chof, Nun, Pei, the song already has been heard. Those concepts of Geula have already been fulfilled. There's one letter, there's one concept that we're still waiting. We're still waiting for Klal Yisrael to yearn for. To yearn for in order to bring the ultimate Geula. And that's Tzvilat Tzadik. And what does Tzvilat Tzadik represent? Tzlofchot. And what does Tzlofchot represent? The desire to possess Eretz Yisrael. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. At the time of the Bayis Sheni, why did Mashiach come at the time of Ezra? What's the reason Chazal very clearly defined why Mashiach didn't come? Because only 5% of the population took advantage of the call of Koresh to return to Eretz Yisrael. Only 5% of the population. Chazal say that miracles should have happened by the time of the Bayis Sheni, greater than the miracles that happened during the time of the Bayis Rishon when they came into Eretz Yisrael. How come there were no miracles? Everything happened with Derech HaTeva? Was because no one was interested. There was a call. It was only 70 years since the Korban. Koresha, you can go back and you can build it. You can go back and you can build it. No one's interested. So, no one's interested. There won't be miracles. Something's going to happen. When Eretz Yisrael was founded, 1948, we even go back before that, all the different kufis. How many people took up the call to go to return to Eretz Yisrael? So the historians tell us approximately the same amount of people, approximately 5%. There's a lack of desire. Well, desire yishuv. Okay, restrict it. Right, so you can't be. I'm not trying to be moitzi kitros. I mean, there has to be to recognize the ability to possess Eretz Yisrael, the chashivas of yishuv, Eretz Yisrael, and everything which goes along with Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. All of this is alluded to in the combination of these two Maamari Chazal. Let's review very quickly. I'm presenting two separate Maamari Chazal. And when you put the two together, there's a very powerful message. There's a concept called Man Tzipach. Man Tzipach, on one hand, represents five Niktsos, five categories of halacha which were not given to Klal Yisrael, were only revealed to Klal Yisrael because we had a desire to know what these concepts are about. And one of those is the tzadi, which represents Bino Slavchot, which is the concept of I have a desire, an intense desire to possess Eretz Yisrael. On the other hand, we have another Chazal, another Maamar Chazal. The Man Tzipach represents the coming of Mashiach. It represents the Gula Hasida. There are five letters. Four of those five letters are a done deal. There's only one letter that's yet to be fulfilled. And that's the letter Tzadi, as the Pasuk says, Tzvi La Tzadik. Let's put the two together now. Take these two concepts and overlay them one on top of the other. What is the Tzadi? The Tzadi represents Salafchot, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The reason why Mashiach has not yet come is because we have not yet appreciated, we have not yet taken seriously the Chashivos of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Tzvi La Tzadik is a hint, is a remes to us, Salafchot. B'no Salafchad. Just like the B'no Salafchad says, it's not fair. We have no brothers. Our father died. We also want Eretz Yisrael. There's something to learn from them. That's what's the tzadi. And what do Chazal have said? What's the only letter? What's the only thing that's lacking in the oisios that represent Geula of Man Tzipach, that the Tzayf Ma'amarim to bring Mashiach? It's the letter tzadi. If we will work on ourselves to have a desire to possess Eretz Yisrael and everything which comes along with that, that will be the kiyum of Tzilat Tzadik and the coming of Mashiach, the Gula Hasida. Okay, have I been clear? Okay, now let's go to another idea. Now the other idea, this idea, okay, let's start from the beginning. We have the beginning of the Parash, Parash Emor. Many of the Mefarshim tell us that Parash Emor represents the Parsha of Chinuch Habanim. Now, as a disclaimer, I do not work in the area of chinuch, so I'm not the one to talk about chinuch, and I'm not going to talk about chinuch. I'm just going to tell you what other people say about chinuch. The pasuk begins, "Vayom Hashem el Moshe emor el kodem b'nei Aaron v'yamart alehem lenefesh lo yitama ba'ama." First Rashi, emor v'yamarta. What are these two words, emor v'yamarta? First Rashi in the parasha, everyone knows the first Rashi, lehazhir gidoylim al haketanim. The adults should train the youngsters. Chinuch habanim, lahazir gidoylim al haketanim. It's interesting, the Parshas Emor almost always falls out during Svira, before Lag BaOmer. It is the Parsha that we read during the intensity of the Avelos. There are different minhagim when to be noig Avelos during the Yimei Svira. Do you observe Avelos after Rosh Chodesh until Shavuos, or do you start with Pesach until Lag BaOmer? But what is the common denominator? What is the time that overlaps from Rosh Chodesh until Lag BaOmer? Rubud Rubuf, not all the time, Parshas Emor is read between Rosh Chodesh and Lag BaOmer. What happened during, what is the Avelus? We mourn over the death of the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva. We mourn over a failure in the Chinuch system. That's really what we're mourning about. Shaloi Nohagu Kavod Zeh Lazeh. There was a massive failure in the chinuch system, and 24,000 talmidim died, and it had to be restarted and renewed all over. And we lay in Parshas Emor, and one of the key psukim, the entire Chumash, entire Tanakh, that teaches us about chinuch is this pasuk here: Emor el hakonim ne'aron, Emor v'yamarta, teach v'yamarta lehem lahazir gidolim al haketanim. Now, I'll just tell you very quickly two different ideas that came across that relate to chinuch from this one pasuk. One idea is that the word Emor Amira is Loshon Racha. There are two words the Torah used to describe speech, Dibur and Amira. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar, and sometimes we have the word Vayomer Hashem Moshe Lemar. When do we use the word Amira? When do we use the word Dibur? Chazal tell us Dibur is harsh. Dibur is koshe, harshness. Amira is soft. We find the word Amira used often in regard to women, because women, you have to speak softly to a woman. A man, you can speak with harshness and roughness. Stubborn man. Children, how do you deal with children? So the pasuk here is telling us, children, emor v'yamarta. It's not just one Amira. It's a double Amira. You have to be extremely gentle to children. Emor v'yamarta l'hazir gidolim ala katanim. Here is where the pasuk teaches us that the adults should instruct the youngsters. But when you instruct the youngsters, make sure it's not just with an Amira, it's a double dosage of Amira. Emor v'yamarta, a double dose. You have to be extremely careful and delicate in how you speak to children and how you are mechanech children. That's one very powerful idea that comes out from this pasuk, the first pasuk in Emor, relating to the concept of chinuch habanim. Another very beautiful idea I came across from Rabbi Frand. Rabbi Frand quotes his Rebbe, Rabbi Weinberger. Is that his name? The Rashiva
Weinberger.
Rabbi Weinberger, Zechat Tzadik Levracha. Weinberg?
Weinberg.
Weinberg. And what's his first name? I forgot his first name. Okay, he was a Rashiva in Eretz Yisrael. He was a Rashiva in Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Fran, he quotes him, and he says the powerful, he says, why is the concept of Chinuch Habanim taught in reference to Kohanim in the beginning of Parashas? And what is the main mitzvah of Chinuch Habanim? The main mitzvah of Chinuch Habanim is... what is the mitzvah? The mitzvah here is that you're a kohen, don't contaminate lemes. What is the requirement that a kohen not come in contact with the dead have anything to do with chinuch habanim? My inyan shmita etzel har sinai. So Rabbi Weinberg explains as follows: what is the most common problem that parents face with regard to chinuch? They tell their children, I don't want you to do this. And it's common for the child to say, but all of my friends are doing this. In the world of chinuch, what's good for one person is not good for others. Every child has to have a custom program. For you, this is not good. Everyone else is different. Every child is like that. Every child has things that are for his benefit, and there are things that if he will follow the masses, are not to his benefit, not to his detriment, and vice versa. Every single child needs to be customized according to his needs and his talents and things that he is susceptible to stumble over. What is the law with regard to a kohen? A kohen may not contaminate to the dead. But everyone else contaminates to the dead. A kohen can't go to a funeral. But everyone else in shul is going to the funeral. Everyone else does it. Yet the Torah says, you're different. You are kohanim. You have a different role. You have to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. And not to go into all the details, but we understand there's a very complicated sugya of why kohanim are. But the bottom line is, kohanim are different. And the excuse, the response that everyone else is doing it is not an excuse. You're different. This is the essence of chinuch. The essence of chinuch is to look at a child and to recognize that for this particular child, if he'll do what everyone else is doing in regard to a certain item, a certain thing, it's not in his best interest. It's not going to be good. And to explain to a child You can't do this. Even though everyone else is doing it, requires great skill. Great skill that the child should not feel that he's being restricted, and it should not backfire upon a parent, upon society, and he should not rebel. This is the greatest challenge of chinuch, to tell a child you can't do it, and the excuse that everyone else is doing it is not a valid excuse. That is the essence of what Kohanim are being taught here. You cannot contaminate to the dead, even though everyone else kind of contaminate. That is why the yesod of chinuch habonim is taught against the backdrop of emor el hakohanim b'nei Aaron lenefesh lo yitama ba'ama. Okay, this is giving you an example of chinuch in this week's parasha. Let me give you. Yeah, very quick.
Why this chinuch is not should be given in the harimot that shene b'nei Aaron without any counseling they intend in the kodesh kodashim? It should be there that
I'm not sure. I don't know the answer. Good question. Okay, let's go now. Let me give you another powerful example of chinuch in this week's parasha. Right before, after we finish the first section of the parasha, before we come to the Mo'adim, we come to a very powerful pasuk, very basic pasuk that we make use of every single day. We daven with a minyan, and the pasuk says, "V'nigdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael." Let me read you the entire pasuk. "V'lo sichalu eshmi." This is the last pasuk before we begin the parasha of the Mo'adim. "V'lo sichalu eshem kachi v'nigdashti." I will be sanctified. "B'soich b'nei Yisrael ani Hashem mikadishchem." And we know this pasuk teaches us that you need a minyan. You have to daven with a minyan to the meraglim. You need to have a minyan in order to daven shabbat kedusha. Requires 10 people. Now, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and Sefer Emes Yaakov says a chiddush, and this chiddush is quoted in many svarim. And it could be it's not only him, and he bases it on this pasuk, and he brings Zarias from a Rambam, and he brings Zarias from Pesukim in Tanakh and Pesukim in Tehillim. It's tremendous. It's a very, very big chiddush. The yesod is Rashi. Okay, I'm not going to read it. Rashi. Another thing we learn from this pasuk in Dashi is a person is mechuyev at times to give up his life al kiddush Hashem. The gimel averes chamuros avodah zor gidrashi chostamim or b'shas shmad. Even the color of a shoelace, if it's a matter of religious persecution, a person will chuyev to give up his life al kiddush Hashem. Rashi indeed in this pasuk elaborates. I'll just read you a little bit of the Rashi pasuk on the base. Pasuk says v'lo sechadlu lo sechadlu lavar al divar mezidin. Okay, let me just go further. Geshu moiser atzmo yimser atzmo al menas lomus shekol hamoiser atzmo al menas hanes ein oisin lones. Rashi says this to Makor when you have to give up your life al kiddush shem shem nigdashti besoch bnei Yisrael. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says children, even though they're poter mikol hamitzvos ha'amuros b'Torah, but I'm a chuyev in one single mitzvah, they're mechuyev to give up their life al kiddush Hashem. Can you imagine such a chiddush? That if a Jew, if a goy, says to a child, if you do not bow down to this idol, I will kill you, the child has to give up his life. But if the goy would say to the child, eat a piece of non-kosher meat, nothing to do with religion, the child would say, I can eat, I'm not mechuyev in mitzvos. Katan is potter mi mitzvos. There's one exception to a katan being potter from tayag mitzvos. He must give up his life al kiddush Hashem. And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky to daik this because when Yigdashti is the passive form, does not say, it's not a command. It's not that you shall sanctify yourself. The result is what counts. The result is I should be sanctified. He's been dyking the Rambam. Okay, I don't know little details in front of me. He's dyking the Rambam. He's also brings Raya's the pasuk in Yeshaya. The pasuk in Yeshaya says, "Ki derois yel." Okay, it's Perichav Tes Pasuchav Gemara. Kibiros Yiladov Yakdishu Eshimi. When he will see his children sanctify my name. It's in Yeshaya Perik Chavtes Pasuk Chav Gimel. Okay, this is a discussion. It's a Chiddush Noira. that a child is mechuyev to give up his life al kiddush Hashem. And indeed, during the time of the Crusades, we find that the parents sacrificed, they even slaughtered their children as if they were offering korbanos. And the mefarshim are all shocked. What's the precedent for this? Is there such a halacha? Rav Yaakov says, yes, there is such a thing. It should not be a surprise to us that this concept is here in Parshas Emor, because Parshas Emor is the parsha of Chinuch Habanim. Emor v'Yamarta, the first pasuk in Parshas Emor, sets the tone. This is the parsha of Chinuch Habanim. This is the parsha that's always read between Chodesh Iyar and Lag BaOmer during the time when there was a colossal failure in the system of Chinuch Habanim. This is another Yesoid. This is another pillar in the concept of Chinuch Habanim.
Who tells the child that he has given up his life?
Well, during the Holocaust, during the Crusades, the child should be instructed that he's mechuyev to give up his life al pi kiddush Hashem. Or even at kedei kach, the father himself has the right to hand over his child to die al pi kiddush Hashem. It's a chiddush neira, and this is what Rabbi Avraham Kamenetsky, and it's quoted by all of the people who talk about the Holocaust, talk about the tragedies in Klal Yisrael. And it makes sense why such a pasuk should appear. My point I want to make is why it appears in Parshas Emor, because Parshas Emor is the foundation of Chinuch Habanim. Now this is all Hakdama to what I'm about to tell you now. There's something else very interesting about Parshas Emor. It's the Parsha of the Moadim. All of the Moadim, with great elaboration. We have Shabbos, and Pesach, and Shavuos, and Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres, and then we have a reference to Hanukkah, and a reference to Purim, a little small reference. Maybe we'll talk about that in a few moments. We have all of the Moadim appear in Parshas Emor. Now, when I was learning about Chinuch Habanim and I remembered that we have here the Moadim, I was reminded of a conversation I had a number of years ago in Shul at Shalosh Shuddis. Years ago in the Yongizlov Avenue J, when my father, Zechon Levracha, father would ask me to speak every so often by Shalosh Shuddis. And I said a Vard, and the Vard, for some reason, triggered a reaction by one of a guest in the Shul. And we started having a discussion about Chinuch Habanim. And today, if you'll go to a Torah Masorah convention, you'll probably hear a lot of speeches, ideas, what should mechanchim focus on. Again, as a disclaimer, I'm not in the world of Chinuch Habanim, I'm in the world of Chinuch, so I don't know, I'm just telling you things that I hear, that I've read. So, we know no one has a perfect track record, and everyone is searching to find a technique, or to focus on the ikar. What should mechanchim focus on, parents focus on, that will be a guarantee that children will be successful in life in coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Should they be focused on a Daf Gemara? Should the focus be on learning Tanakh? Should the focus be on a Havas Eretz Yisrael? Where does the focus lie? And this is a very big debate. This is a very big debate, and there are different schools of thought. There are different hashkafos, and each hashkafa will have a different focus. There's certain segment Klal Yisrael focuses that the Iker in Chinuch Habanim is Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, this is the thing. And I think most by the Haredi world, the Iker is a Daf Gemara. A Daf Gemara is magic. You learn a Daf Gemara, it opens up within your heart a Ahavas Hashem, a Ahavas HaTorah, which is guaranteed to set you straight for the rest of your life. Then there are other approaches. Nothing. No one has a perfect track record, and everyone is struggling with this issue. This person, after having this whole discussion, I don't remember how we got into this discussion, he's told me, this is a person that's much older than me, and has a lot of life experience, and he learned by very great people. He said to me that he believes, this is his personal opinion, and he gave me examples from his own life, it's essential that children be taught to appreciate the Moadim. Again, not Eretz Yisrael, we're not talking about a Daf Gemara, we're not talking about Tanakh, we're talking about appreciating the experience of the Moadim. The Shalosh Regalim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. In some yeshivas, they don't spend much time. You learn Chumash, you learn Gemara, you learn Mishnayis. Oh, it's Pesach. All right, I have vacation. I'll see you guys in 2 weeks. It's Shavuos. I'll see you in 3 days. Rosh Hashanah, have a good year. Rosh Hashanah Tova Yikosevu. How are you going to spend your Yom Tov? How much are you prepared for the Yom Tov experience? It's not important. If you learn a Daf Gemara, Mamela, you will already have an appreciation. So this individual, he claims, Talmud Chacham, he claimed that he feels it's essential that part of Chinuch, a primary aspect of Chinuch Habanim, is for children to appreciate and understand the depth of the Mo'adim. And if they experience the Mo'adim the proper way when they're young, they're set for life. Everything else will fall into place. Now again, this one aspect that he felt is critical. It's interesting that in Parshas Emor, which is the Parsha of Chinuch Habanim, Emor v'yomarta, L'hazir ha-gedoylim al ha-ketanim, this is the Parsha in the different examples that we've given, v'nigdashti, Emor v'yomarta, different examples of Amir v'raka, Amir v'amira, examples of, what else is a bulk of the Parsha? The Mo'adim. The parsha of the Mo'adim, all the Mo'adim appear in this sixth parsha. It appears that his thesis does have some remes in this week's parsha. If we accept Emor is the parsha of Chinuch, it's during the time of the year. It says that there's definitely something to it, that Chinuch Habanim should involve a full dosage, a full experience, appreciation of the Mo'adim. Okay, let's go to another idea.
Sometimes Ketanim give
yeah.
An important corollary to the Mo'adim is family.
Family
values. This is where children see and learn, which comes from family.
Absolutely.
Family, which is part of
the Mo'adim experience.
Sometimes the Ketanim give you as a role, as you give me, you're younger than me, you give me as a role.
Gedolim al haketalim, the chinuch habanim. Okay, let's go.
Your earlier question is hatzileni no.
Hatzileni no. Miyadochim yadeichav. So it's no hatzileni no. The two nuns. Hatzileni no. Those are the two nuns. Very good. Thank you very much. And at samtan imenu, I was correct. At samtan imenu. Hatzileni no. The other letter of gula was silena. Okay, let's go to one more quick idea. In this week's parasha, we learn about all the Mo'adim. The Mo'adim begin with Shabbos. Then we come to Pesach. Then we come to Shavuos. Then we come to Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres. And then at the very end, we talk about the menorah. My Inyan Zayt says, what's the menorah all about? So the Darsham said the menorah refers to Chanukah. It's a hint. It's a nevuah that there will be a time during the Bayis Sheni when there's going to be a holiday called the holiday of Chanukah. That's why it comes after Sukkot. Then what comes after that? The Lechem Aponim. What is Lechem Aponim? When is the Merames too? So the Darsham goes a step further. Lechem Aponim is the Merames too? Purim. Why is Lechem Aponim Merames too? Purim. What is the Shulchan? The Shulchan has a Keser, and there's a Keser Malchus. There are three Kisarim. There's the Keser Torah, the Keser Kuhuna, and Keser Malchus. So what is the Keser on the Aron is the Keser Torah, the Keser on the Mizbeach is the Keser Kuhuna, and the Keser on the Zer that goes around the Shulchan is the Keser Malchus. The Shulchan is associated with the concept of Malchus. What is Purim all about? Purim is all about Melech. How many times is saying the Megillah the word HaMelech? HaMelech Balayla Hu Nodid Ashnas HaMelech Malchus Shel Olam. It's the whole idea of Esther HaMalka. The entire idea of Purim is all about Malchus. It's hidden in the Shulchan. What else is in the Shulchan? The Shulchan is Lechem, is bread. And what happened on Purim? They wanted to destroy our lives, our physical lives. Ki lo yahla Lechem levado yichi hodam. Lechem represents man's physical needs. Achash Hama and Achashverosh wanted to destroy man. So we have really all of the Mo'adim. We have starting with Shabbos and Pesach, and we end with Shmini Atzeres. Then we have the menorah, and then we have the Shulchan. The Shulchan is a reference to Purim. Now I just want to go a little bit a step further. Let's look at the Mo'adim in terms of days, in terms of an abstract idea, in terms of days. Shabbos is the seventh day of the week. It's a one-day holiday. In fact, it's set. Every 7 day is Shabbos. Then we come to Pesach. New Pesach. It's a one-day holiday. The first day of Pesach Well, it's the first day of Pesach is significant, and we have Shvi Yishol Pesach. Pesach, we'll take it back to the 7-day holiday. And then we have Shavuos, the 1-day holiday. And then we come to Sukkot, we have a 7/8. On the one hand, Sukkot is 7 days. And then we have Atzeres, which in many areas of Halacha is an independent day, Pazer Koshev. But on the other hand, it's also attached to the 7th day. The 8 is a very mystical number in Halacha. So all different types of number holidays. We have the holiday, 1-day holiday. We have a holiday, a 7-day holiday. We have a holiday that's a Shabbos holiday, which is also 1 day, but it's fixed. It's fixed in the calendar. And then we have a 7/8. Then we have Chanukah. Chanukah is purely an 8-day holiday. It's Lamala Miderech HaTeva. To some degree, it's one up. It's one up over Shmini Atzeres. Because Shmini Atzeres is only 8/2. Why is it only 8/2? Because it's Yom Tov Bifnei Atzmo. It's only a b'diavad, an extension. But Chanukah, the essence of Chanukah is the concept of a miracle, pure miracles. The ner of Chanukah lasted for 8 days. L'malam miderech hateva. Yeah. In Emor, Bayom Hashmini. It's explicit. Isn't it explicit?
Yes.
Look in Vayda b'darba b'chay b'chamish osal yom ha'chodesh ha'shvi ha'zeh chag ha'sukos kei b'yom ha'yishun b'chodesh b'shvas yomim b'yom ha'shmini b'yom ha'shmini pasuk lamed vav b'yom ha'shmini. Okay, now let's go. Right, I know. I told you, it's a drush. It's a remes. The fact that the menorah comes after it's a mitzvah de rabbanon. It happened many, many years later by Hesheni. It's a remes. The fact that the menorah comes after the muadim. It's a remes to Chanukah. But it's an 8-day holiday. Now Purim. Let's now come to Purim. I wanted to suggest that Purim represents the concept of a 9-day holiday. Now you'll ask me, what in the world does that mean, a 9-day holiday? Opens up a whole new idea of the number 9. After the parasha of the Shulchan, we learn about the Mekalel, we learn about the Mevorech Hashem, the Noikev Shem Hashem. Rashi tells us, how did it come about that such a person was Mevorech Hashem, Gesundheit? He was Liglig, he mocked the Lechem upon him. And there was something very specific about his mockery. The mockery was, is it really fit in the Beis HaMikdash, the place of the Hashras HaShchina, to serve Kohanim bread that's 9 days old? The essence of the Lechem Aponim is bread that's 9 days old. You prepare it. The baking of the Lechem Aponim is not Doicha Shabbos. So the bread is prepared on Friday. It's put on the Shulchan Shabbos the next day, and it is removed from the Shulchan the following Shabbos on day 9. Day 9. The day it's baked is day 1. The next Friday would be day 8. So Shabbos is day 9. Rashi is Mefarish. Bread that's 9 days old. This is what you do. This is what goes on in the Beis Midrash. You serve stale bread. Fresh. That was the miracle. The miracle was Ruh Chibas and Lefnei Amakum the Chiba. Rashi said that when they would come, Ala Shulchan HaTohar, they would move the Shulchan. When the Oile Rogom would come, they would bring the Shulchan out to the Oile Rogom. They would show them the Shulchan. They would show that the bread after 9 days is still steaming. And they would say, Ru'u chibaschem lefnei hamakom. Look at the love Hashem has, the love that you have before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. 9 days. Isn't that interesting? We have, and that is the miracle that was specific to the Lechem Aponim, the number 9. Very interesting, the sequence. We have all different holidays, all the holidays, different numbers. A 1, a 7, an 8, a quasi 8. Chanukah is a pure 8. And after 8 comes the holiday of the Lechem Aponim, which represents Purim, is the number 9. Why is 9 associated with Purim, with the Lechem Aponim? Let's take a step back. When we go through a cycle of time, 7 is a complete unit. But the number 8 is a cycle. When you go from Shabbos to Shabbos, you're going through 8 days. A bris always on the 8th day. You come back in the same day of the week. Chazal said, only Klal Yisrael would observe 2 Shabbos, so Mashiach would come. There's something to 8. Forget about mystical concepts of going through L'malam Ederech HaTeva. 8 represents you've gone through the cycle. You're re-experiencing the event a second time because you connect the end to the beginning. It's not just going through, I've gone from the end, I've reached the finish line. That's not a complete finish. The complete finish is when the cycle resumes. A ches in the Sefer Torah has two zayins. Two zayins are connected with a bridge. Eight is to repeat the cycle, to go from one set of seven and to cycle through another set of seven. But there's something special because something significant because it's an experience to go through the cycle. The number nine represents going back to the ordinary. I've achieved my goal. I had a goal to reach the finish line. Seven is the most complete number in Teva. I've completed. Not only have I completed my goal, I've resumed the cycle. Okay, I've gone the next level. But now what? What is there more to do? A person wants to reach their birthday. The birthday is really eight because you complete your year the day before. When you come to your birthday, you have resumed the cycle. What about the day after you celebrate your birthday? It's a letdown. Why is it a letdown? I've reached the goal. I have repeated the cycle. I've come to commemorate. And now I'm going back to nothing. I'm just resuming life in an ordinary fashion. That is the concept of the number nine. Nine is just ordinary. You've gone through a complete cycle, you've commemorated the event, and now you're still willing to continue and to go forward and live a normal life. What is Purim all about? Purim is to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Teva. All of the Moadim represent miracles. Pesach, Shabbos, Mayis Bris, Olam, Yesh Me'ayin, and Pesach, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Shavuos, is Matan Torah, and Sukkot, and Aniyah Kavod. These are all mystical things. They all represent miracles. Chanukah is a miracle. What is Purim? Purim is to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present in the ordinary, in the Olam HaTeva. The Olam HaTeva is represented in the concept of nine, because nine is after you complete the cycle and you go forward and you continue to serve Hashem in the ordinary daily events. That is the number nine. That is why specifically the Lechem Aponim is associated with the number nine. And if a person is able to serve Hashem in the ordinary things of his life, this is the ultimate chiba. This shows that you have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu the ultimate love. And what's the proof? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu reciprocates with the Lechem Aponim, where it's steaming during those 9 days, even day nine. Ru'u, and when Chazal described the steam of the Lechem Aponim, Ru'u chibaschem lifnei hamakam. Now with this idea, we can perhaps understand why we have two other days in the calendar that are associated with the number nine. What are the two other days in the calendar that are associated with the nine? Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the 10th day of the 10th day of Tishrei, but the way the Torah describes it, B'tisha l'chodesh bo'erf. Why does the Torah describe Yom Kippur as what comes after day nine? It's very bizarre. There are many, many answers. But with this idea that we have presented, perhaps the idea is the Iker Kapara a person needs on Yom Kippur is to atone for the sins he commits in Teva, in your normally daily activities. When you are experiencing miracles, when you're sitting at the Seder table with your family, there are not many sins that are committed. Think about it. You're sitting at the Seder table with your family on Pesach. Is someone really doing an Avera? Is anyone by the Seder table doing any Avera? No one's doing Gili Arai, Yishvi Chastam, Abadazar. Right? That's for sure. Are you talking Lashon Hara? Not likely. When you're going through holy moments, commemorating miracles, when you're re-experiencing miracles, the Yad Hashem, that's not a time where you're in the Seder, in the Sionos, where you're doing Averos. The Averos occur at the downtime, when you do your regular Tuesday afternoon, 3 o'clock, that's the time when a person has nisyonos. Should I do this? Should I do that? You have difficulty. The kapara of Tisha B'Av, when you need the inisem es nafsho sechem, the Torah defines it, the kapara is for the 9-day holiday. B'tisha l'chodesh bo'erev. The pasuk emphasizes the Yom Kippur is an atonement to atone for the sins you've done because you failed to see the Yad Hashem in Hashkocha Pratis in the Olam HaTeva. Tisha B'Av. is the other day. Why is Tish B'Av celebrated on the ninth day? What's this? Okay, plus the calendar, but the significance. Why is it the ninth day? Because either we can say it's a failure on our part to recognize the Churban came to Klal Yisrael because of our failure to recognize the Siyah Hashem in the Olam HaTeva. That's what Tisha B'Av is. It's emphasized, it's the test B'Av. Or we can say that test also represents Chiba. Mizmar L'Osaf, Bohu Goy B'Nachalascha. Chazal tell us the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the Beis HaMikdash was a very great expression of love. Because the alternative would have been for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to destroy us. And the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the Beis HaMikdash was the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed love for us. 9 represents Chiba, because Chiba is a concept that is expressed at a time when it's not obvious. At a time of Hester Panim, where it's not obvious that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present, and yet to have a moon, have a loyalty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is an expression of love. That's why the Lechem Apanim, it was steaming. The steam was expressed in the miracle of 9 days. Tisha B'Av, HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, it was an expression of Chiba for Klal Yisrael, that it would guarantee our survival. So this night, I just want to present, we have the entire parasha. In the parasha, we have 7. Chanukah, who is alluded to in the menorah, that's obvious, but the Lechem Apanim is not so obvious. The Lechem Apanim alludes to Purim. Purim is the Karav HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tachateva, and Purim takes it to the next level. After 8, it's not over. There's another number. The number is 9. Rashi explicitly says it. That's the miracle in the Lechem Apanim. 9 is the cycle has been you've commemorated the event, and now you go back to life, business as usual. And yet you're still willing to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, business as usual. After you go through the cycle, you've gone Shabbos to Shabbos, and now you go another day. Go and everything is okay. That is an expression of true love, true loyalty. Hashem reciprocates, and other ideas of 9 can be understood with this idea. Have a wonderful Shabbos.